Hello and welcome to Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author, editor, and book coach, Connie B. Dowell. And today I have a great interview for you guys, kind of a longer one, but I think there's a lot of great information. We had a great chat, and I hope you guys really enjoy this. I've had on author Rebecca Waters to talk about five essential habits for authors to develop, for writers to develop, that will help them have a flourishing career. And it was a really great and in-depth interview. So I'm going to try to keep this intro a little bit short so we can get right to it. Now, I may actually have a cool announcement for you guys in the show notes. I have been working on a lot of author newsletter stuff. So a lot of great material about how to start your author newsletter, how to grow it, how to nurture that newsletter so that it becomes the core of your marketing, because newsletters are still the strongest form of online marketing. You just can't beat having readers like volunteer to have your emails come into their inbox. But they are big and intimidating when you first get started. It took me a long time to get really comfortable with newsletter marketing. So check out the show notes. There may be a link for some good stuff in there, but I might not have this all done by Wednesday, so I might be actually announcing it for next week's episode. So it's in the show notes, perhaps, or it's coming very soon. So let's move on to our episode with Rebecca. Today on the podcast, I'd like to welcome our guest, Rebecca Waters, who is coming on to talk about, among other things, important habits for writers. So welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you very much for letting me come on.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and all the things you write?
Sure. Actually, I was a professor of teacher education for many years. And when my husband needed to retire early, I decided to be a writer. So here I am. It's just major shift, but I think I've always been a writer. I have a couple of novels out. One is Breathing on Her Own, and the other is Libby's Cup of Joe. They're contemporary inspirational fiction. But I've had a lot of fun with those, as well as I have a novella in an anthology. And I have three books that we're going to talk about, one of those today, and they're the Writing to Publish series. The first one is on designing a business plan for your writing. The second is on Marketing You 101. It's for beginners, for people who don't know what they need to do. And then this one is, I call it Writing with Ease, because it's five habits that we need to make part of our writing DNA that all begin with the letter E.
I like that, Writing with Ease. So that's great. So but let's just launch right into it. What are these five E's?
Yeah, I'll just tell you what I call them, and then we can talk about them one by one, if that's okay.
Sure.
The first is exercise, and it deals with not the physical exercise, but exercising your writing muscle. And it's very important to get in the habit of daily writing, of writing with a routine, and building that muscle so that you're a stronger writer. The second one is editing. You need to find that, be able to do some self-editing. And we'll talk a little bit about that one, because there are different kinds of edits that you can make. The third is educate yourself. You need to learn the business, learn what is out there, understand what to expect from publishers, what to expect from agents, what to expect in each genre of writing, so that you are writing according to what the industry expects and what your readers expect. Engage, that's engaging with other writers, just as you and I are part of a group of writers, and we make connections and we help each other, and you need to do that. You need to engage with people in the industry. And the last one is evaluate. And that's an ongoing process. I will talk a little bit about a once a year kind of thing that I do as well to assess where I am and where I'm going.
Oh, great. This all sounds like great. Great stuff. So let's jump into, what is that?
The first
E, exercise.
Exercise, yes. If you want to be published, if you want to be a writer, you actually have to write something. I know that sounds so silly to us, but I ran into people at parties who say, oh, I have a book in my head. I'm going to, you know, I just know it'll be a bestseller and everything, but they never write it down. And you only get better at something if you do it over and over, if you engage in it more and more. So I talk about using some exercises to get you writing more and more. And that helps you to learn your own craft and to find your voice and to be able to think through a sequence of to sequence your story correctly, or to sequence things so that they make sense. It just helps you rather than just randomly throwing things out on the paper. So when I started writing, I knew I needed to do some regular kinds of writing to build that writing muscle. And so I did a few things. I tried writing prompts. You can sign up for one to come into your inbox, you know, once a day or once a week. You could do that. Or you can, some people blog, or they blog A through Z, you know, so they'll start, everything begins with the letter A, then B, you know, and go on like that, just to keep them going. You can, another exercise you can do is to consider the members of your family and write a short story about each member of your family, which could also be gifted to your children or your grandparents or somebody. It would be sort of a family portrait on paper, but just engage in that daily kind of writing. One of the things I did was to look for themed publications. I checked with Chicken Soup for the Soul. I don't know if you're familiar with Chicken Soup for the Soul. It's pretty widely known. And they come out with a list of what they're going to publish over the next several, you know, over the next several months, and the topics and kinds of stories they're looking for. So I just took the list and started writing stories from my own experience that fit that. And I have published in Chicken Soup for the Soul six volumes of their publication. And that came totally from viewing writing as an exercise. So short things to help build you. Your writing muscle.
Yeah, that's great. And that's a great tip, especially for a lot of us who are so deeply focused on novels. And sometimes when you're between projects, it can feel like there's nothing to do. But having a regular writing habit doesn't mean you're always writing a novel.
Absolutely. In fact, I've had situations where I was writing, I contracted with something called Home Health Aid Digest, which I know nothing about home health aids or anything, but I researched, I'm a good researcher, so I researched them. She needed, this is written for people who are in the home health aid care industry. So I researched my audience, and I researched what was happening with what they do, what home health aides do, so that I could write the article that the woman needed on medications that people encounter in hospice. And but through that, that was in the middle of writing my novel, my first novel, Breathing on Her Own. And in doing that, I had reached a point where I knew that I needed another character, another person's voice to enter my protagonist's life. And she was coming home from the hospital, so I brought her a home health aide in, and I knew what she would look like and what her responses would be. So those small exercises can actually feed those novels.
Oh, that's a very good point. So we draw our inspiration from everything that we encounter. So even small exercises that you feel are kind of one-offs, it might have something down the road that contributes to a bigger project. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about your second E.
Editing, yes. I have encountered, and I would say there's a bad habit that some people get into. They believe that they'll just leave editing up to an editor, and they fall into some really bad pitfalls where no one will even look at their book to get it to that point of editing. So there's all kinds of editing. And one of the things that when we talk about educate, which is the next one, is you need to learn what those editing, kinds of editing are. There's developmental editing, where you're making sure the story is making sense and moving along at the right pace and is well-formed. I think a lot of people, when they think of editing, it's grammar, you know, but there's so much more to it. I have, since I've been doing a lot of my own self-editing as I go, I'm always on the lookout for overuse of adverbs. You know, I'm always throwing those in. And they're weak words. You don't need them. Most of the time, you do not need them. You can throw one in every now and then, but most of the time, you don't need them. I also tend to use the word just, you know, a lot. And I use, for some reason, when I type, I tend to type form instead of from frequently. And spell check won't catch it. Sometimes even grammar check doesn't catch it, you know. So it depends on where it was, how it was used. So I type in my spell check, I will type in form, or in my search engine, I'll type in form. And it'll find everywhere I put the word form in. And if it was supposed to be from, then I can catch it. That is going, the cleaner that you can make your manuscript, the more likely a publisher is going to like it. They like something that they can enjoy the story and not stumble over all the words or other phrases.
Absolutely. And as a freelance editor, I'll add that the cleaner you can make your manuscript, if you're self-publishing and you give it to an editor, the better job they can do to produce a good result.
Absolutely. On the books that I self-published, which were the handbooks on writing, this is one of them, the Writing with Ease. I first went through and made it as clean as I could. Then when I handed it over to the editor, they weren't stumbling with all of that either. They were actually able to focus on the clarity of what I was presenting. Mm-hmm. So, and even if you're self-publishing, boy, I mean, especially if you're self-publishing, you need to hire the editor, just like your traditional publisher is going to hire an editor for your work, even if it looks clean from the beginning.
Yep, a necessary step. So very good tip about knowing your habits and searching them out. One thing I'll add here, and this is something I do for both my own work and my clients, is that I will have, Word has a feature, it will read it back to you.
Yes.
And that will catch things that your eye will not see.
Absolutely. And sometimes even just reading aloud myself, mm-hmm. I will catch things just reading it out loud. That's a great way to catch some initial pieces. And you'll still miss them. You'll still miss mm-hmm. some of them. So having someone else read it, or even if you go through something over and over and over, expect that an editor is going to find something as well. So, and then you want me to move on, shall I, to the educate?
Sure. Let's go to step three.
Step three, educate. It is really important to understand the industry, to understand the craft. So you need to not only, I say this as a habit, you need to, something you need to do, it needs to be something that becomes part of who you are, is that you are constantly learning. And one of the pitfalls is that I discover with particularly new writers who have a great idea, they feel like they know enough. You know, their story is going to be so awesome. It's going to be so wonderful that everybody's going to be fighting for it, and they'll be making movies out of it and everything like that. But they can't get it in front of someone because they didn't educate themselves on how the industry works. And you need to know, I mean, you need to know agents. You don't have to have an agent. I don't have an agent. But you need to know what their job is. So you know if that's the route you want to go. You need to understand traditional publishing, indie publishing. You need to understand, just educate yourself on the industry. But then you also need to educate yourself on the craft so that you make sure that you are, back to the industry, and this is sort of the craft and the industry, is writing a proposal. If you can write a really strong proposal, you can oftentimes affect a contract and get someone's interest to read it. Understand how to write dialogue. Study it. Study how to write dialogue and how to use dialogue tags so that they're not obstructing the flow, but so that they strengthen the story. So you could actually get to know someone's character by the way they shuffle their feet, you know, or the way they raise their eyebrows or whatever. But you need to educate yourself. And I recommend to people I work with, and of course it's a little awkward during this pandemic, although there are conferences happening, online kinds of events happening, but I do recommend conferences. You connect with other people, but you also learn so much. And read books on the craft. And read a lot of books in the genre you like. You learn an awful lot from those. But educate yourself and make it part of your part, so much a part of what you do that when you are seeing you're engaged in something totally different, you're applying it and understanding what you're doing as a writer. I think that that's when you know it's in your DNA, when you're starting to see things with that writer's eye, you know. But educate is definitely one of the habits we need to get into. Not just an upfront, it's not like I got my degree or I got a certificate, I finished the course. It's an ongoing process. It's happening all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just writing is like any other career. You should be doing professional development along the way.
Exactly. And as a teacher, I understood professional development and understood that. And I think that educate comes back to that you do not know everything. Anytime, you're going to constantly be learning. It's very, very important to have that mindset.
Indeed it is. All right, you ready to move on to the next E?
Yes, engage. Yeah. And this is kind of fun because you and I are both part of a 10 Minute Novelist, which is an online group that happened long before online groups were really popular for writers. There were a few, but this is a pretty inclusive group because we have people from all genres and all backgrounds and all countries, a lot of countries. But you need to make those connections with other writers and editors. And as I said, you know, people that are in the sort of publishing world, you need to engage with those people. You will learn from them, you will grow from them, and you support them and they will support you and they will guide you and they will help you. I've been reading a book, it's for, it's called The Accidental Salesman. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's my daughter graduated from college, I don't know how long ago, and she had it in college, but I was reading about it, and he was talking about the 10 most wanted list. You know, the FBI has a 10 most wanted list. And I said, I think I could apply this to engaging with people. Those people I really want to get to know and I want to connect with at that I have respect for in the writing community. And I, as I said, I don't have an agent, but there are a couple of agents that I really respect their writing and I respect their work and the way that they treat people. And there are publishers that I really think are in line with the kinds of things that I write. There are other writers who write in my genre and other people who write not in the genre that I write in, but in a genre that I enjoy reading. There are publicists. I'm friends with a publicist and a lot of people that are really connected in the writing community at various levels. I think that this 10 most wanted list, you start following some people on Twitter and liking what they like and kind of connecting with them in that way. And at this particular time in our history, that's a really good way to connect with them. But if you have an opportunity to meet face to face and to get to know them and pick their brains and let them pick yours, you know, and become friends, that's powerful stuff. Our friendships are very powerful. So I think engaging with other writers. I'm a member of American Christian Fiction Writers. So in fact, I'm the president of our Ohio chapter and we get together and we've been getting together now on Facebook and those kinds of things. But I have learned from these people, even, and one of the people who write that's on the, in the group writes stuff that is totally out of my realm. She is part of Realm Builders. She does the fantasy and those kinds of things. I don't even read that stuff, but she has so much knowledge about writing and about publishing and about just even the stages that you go through for crafting your novel that she's been a wonderful resource for me. And I've encouraged her and she encourages me. So engaging is something you need to make a habit. You cannot, as much as you think that you could lock yourself in a cabin and just write all day and come away down off the mountain and publish your book, you really need those interactions to build you as a writer and to build your characters. Your characters are no longer flat because if you're engaging with other people, you see other sides and other characteristics. Does that make sense? I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right that it is more difficult nowadays when in-person meetings are so difficult to maintain, but there's so much, there's so many resources online. You mentioned 10-minute novelists as one. There are a great many other writers. Writer Facebook groups, Twitter chats, online conferences, even from like very local organizations, like my regional organization, the Virginia Writers Club, recently held for the first time its symposium online so that we could actually have one this year.
And I think some of these things are that are happening right now, I know that I appreciate getting together with people, and I'm a hugger, which is really makes it hard to be, you know, not getting together with people. But getting together online, I think we're going to see more of it even when this pandemic subsides, because people are finding, I can really feel that I'm connecting with someone who lives several time zones away, and we're both on the same page, and this is a strengthening. So those engagements, I think, are going to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And online groups and conferences make it really possible to connect over even really small niches of writers. So you can have a really very specific genre conference. Yes. Then you don't have to get them all in one group.
And it makes it more affordable, far more affordable to do that. I agree.
All right, so do you want to talk about the final E?
Yes, evaluate. Mm-hmm. And this is really a self-evaluation. I like to keep track. I think I have, I'll reach over here. You're not recording this for this.
No, not the video.
Yeah, I have this, I have a thing that I keep my works in the mill. It's a sheet that I keep. I can show it to you, but I have the working title, I have the status, I have the descriptor, I have notes, I keep these, this is an ongoing thing that I check in, and once a month, I'm kind of looking to see, because I'm one of those people that I have multiple projects going on at the same time. If I need to work on dialogue between this person, you know, one person and another, and I can't work it out, I move to a different project so that they can be thinking about their dialogue in the back of my brain while I bring something to the front of my brain. So I keep this sort of evaluation sheet, this sort of check sheet that I look at to see where am I. And I just do it the first of the month and say, where am I and where do I want to be at the end of the month? And how is this progressing? Am I where I want to be? I first wrote my business plan in, it was spring break for the university where I was teaching. So it was March, the first week in March. So I was revisiting it every March, but now I do it during February, because February is a short month. It's a crazy month. For some reason, it's short and you would think it would go by fast, but it seems to drag on forever. So I look forward to taking that time of just evaluating and thinking about where I am, what I learned, and what I still don't get, what I still need to figure out or to study or to read about. Something will be a buzz in the writing community, and I've never heard of it. You know, it's new to me. I try to keep track of those kinds of things and say, okay, so this year I'm going to really get a handle on that. But I think evaluation needs to be more than a yearly thing. I try to evaluate where I am in my writing every month, And I try to do some other kinds of evaluations as well. I've noticed, for example, that I still do the form instead of from, but I hardly use just anymore. It just doesn't come to me. It's not something I use in my writing anymore. So I'm aware of it before I type it in and then erase it. So I'm constantly hoping I'm moving up in moving my game up in my writing. My husband died in 2014, very suddenly. And I've often referred to that as the time when the ink ran out of my pen. I couldn't write. And when I finally, and I thought I really felt bad for not doing it. I had books in the works and, you know, I just couldn't write. Kept my blog going, but just couldn't seem to write. So when I finally decided I was going to try to get back to it, I picked up one of these worksheets where I had put down where I am, where I'm going. And it was so helpful. I didn't choose to work on all of them. I chose one piece to work on to get back into writing. But I remembered where I was. It wasn't like I had to reinvent everything because I had sort of tracked my progress. I think if we can do that as writers, we can grow. We're not always reinventing the wheel, the same wheel. You know, we're moving up in gears. So I think that that's why evaluation is a really important part of doing this and making sure that we can write more easily. It comes more easily and we get more done. We're more efficient. Maybe there's another one, efficiency, because with me.
Yeah, sure it does. And that's, again, I know it's been some years. I'm sorry for your loss. And I'm glad that you were able to come back when you were ready to write again and that evaluation helped you.
It did. And I also had a few of these other E's kind of under my belt. So I knew some of the things I had to do if I wanted to finish the book I was working on. And that was Libby's Cup of Joe, and it was published in 2019. So Tom died at the end of 2014, and then I didn't write. I wrote my blog, but I wasn't doing much of anything else. And then 2017, I moved to Europe for a year. And I taught fourth grade in Kosovo. And it was a wonderful experience. But I started writing and started doing some of these exercises and looked at that evaluation piece when I was in Kosovo. And that's when I pitched Libby's Cup of Joe on online from Europe and got a contract. So yeah, you can do it, but you need to make sure that you're, I think that there are probably more things that people can do, but if you can kind of anchor what you're doing as a writer with those five habits, you will be successful. You will find success.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's, as you laid it out, it's simple, but not easy.
Yes. It takes self-discipline. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of keep them in mind, and one gets under your belt, you know, when exercise becomes kind of your norm, and then editing, you kind of work on that one, it becomes kind of what you do, and you have those two under your belt, then you start educating yourself, which probably happens while you're doing the editing. You know, you kind of build on it. I think it's totally doable.
Absolutely. Well, those are 5 great habits that writers should form, and that if folks want to dive into those habits more, they should check out Writing with Ease. So do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Oh, I wish I had some great words of wisdom that would everybody would go, oh, I wish I had should said that at the beginning. I don't, except to say, if you have that desire to write, do it. Just do it. You have the desire to write, pursue it. Because if it's in you, it needs to come out, and it'll be of benefit to you if no one else.
Yeah, great words of advice. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Rebecca. Can you remind listeners where we can find you and your writing online?
Yes, actually, I have a blog, which is Waters Words. Well, it's called A Novel Creation, but it's located on my website, which is waterswords.com. And my books are available through Amazon, Breathing on Her Own, Libby's Cup of Joe, From the Lake to the River. I have a novella in that one. And then the 3 handbooks on writing are also available on Amazon as ebooks. Wanted to make them as easy, accessible, and affordable as possible. And that was also part of my education, independent publishing looked like and what I could do with it. Had an ulterior motive, because at the time I was thinking about writing stories about my husband to publish so that all of the money would go to his scholarship fund. But so I'll try to learn on these, but they've been pretty successful, and I get some good feedback from them, and helpful for beginning writers, as I was at that time. So yeah, all available on Amazon, and you can always check out waterswords.com and connect with me.
All right. Well, that is great. This has been a really great chat, Rebecca. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks again for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. If you'd like to chat more about habits, I'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com/show. You can also always reach me at Connie@bookechoes.com, or leave a rating or review at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or the podcast catcher of your choice. So I love to hear from you guys. Until next week, happy writing.